welcome to Cinemarathon, the Movie Marathons podcast, where we watch movie marathons all in one day and then dissect them later. We took a little bit of time off because we had the gargantuan James Bond podcast, but finally we are back. I am John, and joining me in a return to the podcast is my brother Dan.
Hey.
How's it going?
It feels good to be recorded again. My yeah. voice needs to be heard.
Yeah, you were very
how,
much
how dare
missed.
You do 6 hours without me?
And then joining us once again is Royce, who you may remember from the Scream podcast.
Hello.
How's it going, man?
It's going well. How about you guys?
Oh, not too bad. So this time you didn't even watch the movies with us.
No.
But you're going to join us for
yeah,
the
why,
podcast.
Why are you here?
To be fair, I think... Granted, some of the Cinemarathon audience probably does follow along. I'm not saying that they don't generally follow along, but you do probably get a decent amount of people who are like, oh, The Matrix? Yeah, I remember that.
Oh, yes, yes.
I kind of watched Revolutions the other day on Showtime. I saw 20 minutes of it, and so I'm here to represent them.
Yes, I should mention that this week we are doing The Matrix Trilogy.
Fair warning, because I did not rewatch them with you guys, I am mixing it up a little bit with Tron Legacy in my
head. It's
like
the same story,
yeah,
right?
Pretty much.
Well, that's an easy mistake to make, I think.
But I'll try my best.
Yeah, well, I mean, even if, you know, you didn't watch this with us right now, like, the first Matrix movie, I feel like, really everyone remembers pretty well.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, it's bio-digital jazz, man.
Yeah, it's not like you have to have seen it today.
Wait, no, I'm already mixing it up.
Wrong movie, dude.
Yeah, no, it's actually funny that Tron, like, just came out and we watched the Matrix movies because there really are a lot of similarities.
Well, that was the thing that the original Tron just totally fucked up, was that when they had... Jeff Bridges, like, physically get hit by the laser and, like, physically shrink down and go inside the computer.
Right, he didn't, like, project.
Yeah, they
he,
totally like... fucked up, because all they had to do was just say, like, oh, your mind is creating the world, and then, therefore, it's real. Like,
it was the 80s, you know? Though. Nobody was really... their minds were not that advanced.
They were not clever enough.
Right.
Yeah, and you like how they sort of creatively in the new Tron movie, like... They have the laser, but it just sort of, they just kind of cut away from that scene.
They all but Matrix right. it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
They don't... tread back on what happened, but they don't mind kind of just coughing past it and getting into it. But yeah, before there were Tron and light cycles and stuff, back when we were young men, Matrix was the thing of the day. And what I vividly remember when that movie came out is just how much it just immediately was just like a pop culture just phenomenon. Like, everyone
Columbine,
was talking
yeah.
about it.
When we looked that up, when we were watching, I kept, when we were in that... the, like, hallway shootout, like, the big shootout where Neo and Trinity come with all the guns and they're shooting everything. We were looking up, like, when exactly did Columbine happen? Because
it happened, like, one month later, right?
I looked up 2.5 weeks.
Yeah.
Because
like,
The Matrix came out
within the same month.
March 31st, I think, or the first week of April or something like that. And Columbine was April 20th because it was Hitler's
math.
Birthday.
2 weeks later.
I know. And it's like, I'm as big a proponent as anybody about, like, look, movies, violence in movies does not incite people to be violent in real life. If people are going to be violent in real life, you know, they'll just do it anyway. But I don't know, man. It's like you're watching it and you're just like,
yeah.
This is it. They come in with the trench coats with all the guns, and it's like super glamorized. And I was like,
it's kind of scary that like you almost if you put that timeline together 2 weeks, it's like those two guys are like, we should do something, but
you
I don't know
they
what.
Saw it. You know they saw that movie.
They
of
go see
they
the
did.
Matrix, and they're like, oh, this is what we should do.
Like, our friend Dan Powers, who was watching the movie with us, was like, he said he got the day off from high school and. The day the Columbine happened, and then he said him and his friend went to go see The Matrix.
Yeah, and then he felt kind of guilty, like,
so
oh, no.
fucked up.
Yeah, our friend Dan Powers, he watched the trilogy with us, but he actually had to leave.
Yeah.
All right, well, I guess we'll get into the first movie. I think what I was most surprised about was just how well it held up. Because my memory of Matrix, like, after that first movie is, like, those other movies are so bad. Like, in general, when you say Matrix, it's not like you go, yeah! Like, you just immediately think of, like, the bad stuff. But that first movie is awesome.
Yeah, it's so awesome. And the one thing that I just kind of, like, was appreciative of watching it is it's a movie that has a cool twist, but it's not, like, defined by its twist. It's not like once you know the plot twist, you can't enjoy the movie ever again.
Right.
And they had the decency to, like... do the plot twist like a third of the way through the movie and not like at the end. Whereas, you know, where it's like, right. this whole time, what you've been seeing isn't real. Like, you know what I mean? They, at least it was like, it wasn't like a big thing at the end.
Well, it's interesting because, yeah, you would think like once the secret's out and you know, like, oh, this is all a virtual reality and, you know, everything, you would think it would be boring to watch. But it's like, yeah, you're right. Like, it's really kind of fascinating. And it makes a lot more sense on like rewatching because when there's all those lines where they're like, we're trying to find your location, like where your body is. I remember being in the theater like, what, like, huh? Because he's like sitting right there.
And also, I remember watching it like when he's coming out of the tube, like in the theater, I was like, my mind is blown. I can't believe I didn't know it was going to go there. But then when you're thinking about it, you're like, that's such a simple idea. Like, why was that? Like,
I had that idea for a movie. I was too young.
Get in line. Everyone had that idea.
I was too young to have written a script. And I didn't have the motivation. To be fair, mine probably wouldn't have been as cool. But I definitely had that idea.
Because, like, the blueprints were there. Like, there's been movies right. where, oh, yeah. like, reality is not what... The reality of the movie is not what we think it is. Like, I'll go all the way back to, like, not to get too, like, film nerd, but, like, Cabinet of Dr. Caligari, like, the whole movie is existing right. in this universe that's not what you think it is. Like, that, it's been done.
No need to go back that far. Try a year prior when Dark City came out.
Was that just a year before?
It was a year before. And you want to know something crazy?
The aesthetics are pretty similar in that, too.
Yeah. What I read online, you know those rooftops that Trinity's running on at the beginning of the movie? Uh-huh. That Dark City was a Warner Brothers movie. They reused the sets of Dark City in The Matrix. Like, that's what they're running over. And it's kind of crazy because, like, yeah, it's like that movie is really kind of the same concept if you think about
it. It's the literal version
of it. It's like aliens have kidnapped human beings or, like, sort of mind-controlling them.
Yeah.
But, like, Dark City didn't take off like a bandit. Because it's really, like, kind of head movie. There's not a lot of action. Right. But this movie's, like, action-packed.
And instead of agents, there's, like, those tuning guys.
Yeah.
And they're manipulating the world.
Yeah, they can
they can
put people to sleep in, like, one look. And it's, like, incredibly similar.
Yeah.
Now, I'm not saying that, you know, the Wachowski brothers, like, saw Dark City and ripped it off. Because I'm sure they were into production in The Matrix, like, as
And
Dark
didn't
City
they have the idea
out.
For The Matrix, like, years Because it was that whole thing where it was like they wanted to make The Matrix, but they didn't let them because they weren't experienced. So they made them do another movie.
Bound.
So they made the Lesbo Fest Bound.
Bound, which I watched that recently, and that'll be a touching stone for later on in the conversation.
You watch that at like 4 in the morning?
Right.
Cute it up.
The lights out.
Any time you watch that movie, it feels like 4 in the morning.
It's an eternal 4 a.m.
Yeah.
But I think what it basically means is like it's not like The Matrix story-wise was breaking new ground or doing something. I mean, it seems fresh and new.
No, but it almost was. Like, that's the way I remember it being categorized at the time was story-wise,
right.
even more than the special effects. Is that was what was cool about it and
right.
groundbreaking. Was it the story?
Eh,
or am I
don't know.
Am I off on
there
that?
There was Terminator. It just felt like a little bit of Terminator to me mixed with like a little bit of Tron mixed with a little bit of the idea, which I had. And so it wasn't entirely original. But
right.
it was for me, it was the iconic scenes, which like I walked out of remembering
right.
more than anything.
Well, for me, I think what makes it work well and why I think even though it's sort of like halfway plagiarized, I guess you could say, because they take it from all these other movies and they're into like philosophy and stuff and Plato and they basically just like rip off like so many things. But I think the reason it's totally fine is because the execution of the film is so good. Like, it's made so well. It's shot so well. All the action scenes are like amazing. I think still hold up today. Like, I was watching it, loving every second of it.
Totally. Well, what do they have? I mean, in terms of big budget Hollywood action movies, like, what are good, those movies that have come out in the last 10 years? Like, what's their competition? Like,
Bad
what
Boys,
do they hold
Bad
up
Boys
against?
Yeah.
Well,
that's
yeah,
true.
That was only a few years later, which is amazing.
Yes.
But it's not even like, there's just not really like.
Yeah, I mean, I guess you could say, like, Transformers.
It wasn't a huge budget, though, either, right? It was, like, around
$60,
$65 million,
yes.
I think.
Yeah. No, I was looking it up while we were watching. It was, like, $70 million.
Yeah.
Something.
Yeah, but they clearly spent it in,
million.
Like, the right places where things like the Dark City set. I'm sure that's why they're reusing sets, is they're pinching pennies everywhere they can.
Yeah.
You know, shooting it in Australia, right? I'm assuming that's, like, cheaper to do because Australia wanted movies to be shot
no
there
unions.
At the time.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, but I think where they did spend their money, you know, they put it in good places. And it's amazing because, like, this movie came out and it's, like, we're saying it's so groundbreaking now, but Dan, I think a lot of what you're saying is there hasn't been an action movie since then that's really matched it is because everyone just copycatted it, really. If you think about it, like, that sort of Hong Kong action cinema, like, they now, like, Daredevil, like, hired, like, think one of the same action stunt guy.
What, it was Yuen-Wo Ping, dude.
Yeah, it was either him or, like, that guy's brother.
Dude,
like, it's
remember
like,
the fight in Daredevil on the, like, the children's playset whatever that was? He's, like, a blind man, and he's, like, jumping around.
Resident Evil, the last Resident Evil movie that came out, was still ripping off
The guy with the sunglasses, he looked like an agent.
Yeah, it was, like, 2 months ago, and it was still ripping off The Matrix in that last fight
scene. If you think about the whole Zack Snyder, like, slow down, speed up, action.
That's a good point.
True.
I mean, he just clearly was younger, watched The Matrix, and was like, that's how I'm going to make my movie. And he, like, worshipped that sort of thing. Because in The Matrix, they use it really sparingly. Like, there are these slow down, you know, bullet time scenes.
Bullet time,
but it's not all the time.
But yeah, but like, and then 300, it's constantly, like.
They do bullet time, like, twice, I think.
Yeah, it's only twice in the movie.
I think it's twice.
Memorable, yes. I mean, there is throughout in little areas, like when...
when
it's
Trinity,
like,
jumps at the beginning?
Yeah, like Trinity jumps, and then like Morpheus gets like shot in the leg for a second.
Oh,
like, they do it every now and then, but the two memorable ones are like he's on the roof.
He's dodging the bullet in the roof, and then jumping with Agent Smith in the circle where they have both have the
guns.
Yeah,
shooting the
and
guns
then they,
and stuff. Yeah,
and they empty the rounds on each other.
And that's another thing that, yeah, I mean, you couldn't throw a rock at a movie without seeing like some stupid bullet time scene after The Matrix.
Shrek 2.
Yeah, so well, not even that. I'm talking more. Like, I remember in like Wing Commander, there's like a scene where they travel.
Wow.
They like light speed travel.
Deep cut.
And they do the thing where they clearly lined up a bunch of still cameras, and then like even like there were like commercials that were like frozen time, and like people are going around.
Oh,
like, it was
the
like,
Gap. The Gap
again.
Commercials.
No, commercials are still basically ripping off The Matrix.
Yeah, like Gap. You're right, because they would in the Gap they would like jump up in the air, and then it would like 360 around. And, it's like. Same shit.
It was like every fad at the time, all in one, like the swing revival, the Matrix. It was like everything.
Right. But some other good things in the movie. I think what helps is a lot of the performances, especially mainly in the first movie, are really pretty great. Like if you think of like Hugo Weaving and like even I think Keanu Reeves.
Keanu Reeves is perfectly cast.
Like, yeah. It's like the part he was like born to play.
You can rip on Keanu Reeves. All day long, you can gossip about how he got the role in the first place.
Wait,
everybody,
what is that?
You didn't know this story?
Is this another Hollywood insider section?
Oh, yeah, this is a Hollywood insider story.
Can we get theme music for this? Can we put, like, techno music under the Hollywood insider?
I think you mean this music right now.
Oh, that's perfect.
Yes.
Does the name David Geffen ring a bell?
Oh, yes. From, like, yeah, Geffen Pictures, right?
This is alleged. But the rumor is that Keanu Reeves spent some time with David Geffen behind closed doors and did a certain act in order to get the role.
For The Matrix
specifically, that they weren't going to give him the role. Will Smith was actually offered it, and he was the favorite for it. And Keanu Reeves, apparently there were issues with Will Smith, but Keanu Reeves given...
Do you think when Keanu was doing that and he come, do you think he like did bullet time? Like,
come on. But what I don't understand.
All
right,
this is all alleged.
Like, here's the thing. Like, for something like, okay, what was that? That Superman Returns movie. What's the guy's name? Brandon something.
Brandon Routh.
Yeah, I'll buy him like 2 seconds. That guy blew into the role because like I never heard of him.
He was good,
anything.
Though. No, he looked just like Christopher Reeve.
He's good, but what I'm saying is, like, Keanu Reeves has a career that, like, well...
Did he, though? Now. But
No. Before
1999.
That, he's in
can
Speed.
We look up, can we
he's
look
in
up?
Other movies.
I'm going to actually have to side with Royce on this one, dude. It's like, when you read his Wikipedia, it's like, he was at the top of his game.
Right.
But after that, it was like a bunch of bombs. Like, does the words Johnny Mnemonic mean anything to you?
Yeah, I mean,
he was already in a sci-fi movie that like sucked and bombed. Like, why would he be in another sci-fi movie? Like, I'm just saying. I'm not saying he's right. I'm just saying like.
I'm not saying I'm right. I'm not. I'm saying alleged.
you're just claiming.
Well, it's a very well-known rumor that's been circulating for a while.
Not even to prepare for this marathon today, but just. Happenstance. I was watching Speed last night. And so my girlfriend's theory is that I don't know if she was saying that it was true or just saying that someone, she just kept saying that Keanu was gay or that there's a rumor that he's gay. Okay. And I kept being like, why would you say that Keanu's gay? And it's like, her whole point was like, well, who's he been with? Like, you know, what relationship has he ever been in?
He had a girlfriend who died in a car crash.
Is that true?
Yeah.
I'm a big Keanu fan. Like, I don't care, like, gay or straight. It doesn't matter to me. I'm just saying, I've heard that before.
It matters to me.
Well, I'm with you with team Keanu. Because, like, Will Smith, like...
So glad it was Keanu Reeves and not Will Smith.
Yo, this is crazy, y'all. This is not real life.
I just want to know what the song would have been.
Mike Lowry.
Is it Matrix? Because you know there would have been a song.
His kid-friendly Matrix song.
Yeah, because this was right around the time... This was, like, same year as Wild Wild West. That had a song. So if he had done Matrix instead of Wild Wild West, that would have had a song.
I think I heard that's why he didn't do the Matrix, was he was like, I got to do Wild Wild West, so I'm, like, committed...
I heard that too. There was a quote that he was like, this is going to be the movie. He kept saying it was going to beat Star Wars, like it was going to beat Phantom Menace.
Oh, man.
He's like, this is the real movie in 99. Like,
well, to be fair, Phantom Menace versus Wild Wild West, what really wins?
Well, I know. I just would have meant the box office. Like, it didn't have a chance.
Yeah, it's interesting to note that the new Star Wars movie did come out the same year as the Matrix
as the
movie.
Matrix.
I can't remember which one released first.
The Matrix was just...
Matrix came
it was
out
a couple
the Matrix,
months for,
yeah.
before. Because
okay.
I remember seeing the Matrix. This is literally the thought I had. Was like, what a great warm-up for Star Wars.
Oh,
like, seriously, like, I was like...
That's so sad.
I was like, that's so awesome, and it's going to usher in this sci-fi summer. And I'm like, oh, now this Matrix, like, we didn't even know what that movie was. It came out of nowhere, and it kicked ass. So it's like, what a great warm-up leading into, like, the main course. Like, the Phantom Menace.
And lo and behold.
Yeah, not it did not quite work out that way.
But, yeah, aside from Keanu, who I think is great, like, really, there's... To me, there's three roles with Keanu Reeves that are, like, part he was born to play, like, perfect, which is, like, Bill and Ted.
Devil's Advocate.
Bill and Ted, Speed. I guess you can make a case for, like, Point Break. That one he's pretty great in.
Yeah. Oh, for sure.
But I'm less on that movie than most people, but I still think it's funny. And then I think The Matrix is, like, really the pinnacle.
Mm-hmm.
But in addition to Keanu, I think Hugo Weaving single-handedly, like, steals every scene he's in this movie. Like, I'd never heard of Hugo Weaving, or I know he's in, like, what is it, Priscilla, Queen of the Desert, and some other stuff.
Yes.
But to me,
I've not seen that, but I assume he's the same in that as he is in.
But I had no clue who he was when this movie came out, and, like, I just adore his performance in the movie. Like, I think it's really pretty amazing.
We didn't realize at the time that that's pretty much who he is, I'm sure, Agent Smith. Because if you look at his performance in Lord of the Rings, he is Agent Smith. With elf ears and long hair. But he was great when you're first introduced to him.
Yeah, and then what's he done recently? I guess, is it Wolfman? Was that the most recent?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, the
Hugo Weaving outing.
I didn't mind
Guys,
the movie.
Oh, my God. Really?
I liked it. I kind of liked it.
Dude, how lame was it the whole time where it's like, there's another Wolfman. Who could it be? Like, it's like, okay, well, let's see. There's three characters in the movie. It's like, who's the other Wolfman? Is it A, Benicio del Toro, who's already the first Wolfman, so no, it's not him? Or is it Hugo Weaving, who's like the hunter? Or is it his creepy dad?
Who wears like a pelt like outfit, clearly.
Who disappears at all kinds of night.
I had a lovely time at the theater. That's
like
all
so
I know.
Obviously him.
But Dan, I didn't see the movie, but how was Hugo Weaving in the movie? Was he like...
He was Agent Smith, but like chasing Wolfman. Yeah. Like,
with a like Ambrose Burnside like
mustache.
Yeah,
it was the same. It was exactly what you would expect.
Gotcha.
Real quick. Who I did see at the Wolfman. This is, we can go back to your Hollywood Insider segment. Can I get that music again for this, John?
Here you go.
Thanks. So when we were seeing Wolfman at AMC Burbank in Hollywood, California.
That's not Hollywood.
Well, let me just say, it was pretty Hollywood because none other than Will.i.am.
I don't go out.
Will.i.am was seeing
at Wolfman.
Yeah, dude.
I did not know this.
Oh, wow.
Dude.
Did you hear what he said about it?
Yeah, actually, he was in auto-tune. He was in auto-tune when he was directing. He was like, oh my God. He's the wolf.
But awesome. I'm excited because Hugo Weaving's going to be in, was it Captain America? As like Red Skull.
Oh, yeah.
He's Red Skull.
Wow. Perfect.
So that's like
but
good to go.
Isn't the director of that movie like the worst director of all time?
I don't
what
know.
What did
who
he
is.
Direct?
Isn't it like The Mummy, the director of The Mummy?
Oh, I like The Mummy.
I definitely don't
but that director
like The Mummy.
Is like,
but
oh,
is
he
like,
did Van Helsing as well, which is awesome.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
I don't think he
terrible.
Did. I don't think so.
I guess we'll
That's
we'll
Captain
find
America,
out.
Dude. It's
pull up
Van
the iPad.
Oh, yeah. Hold on. I'll look it up.
While Daniel's looking that up. I will say that the first Matrix movie, I think, really works in a way that the other two don't, in that the main character has, like, this classic archetypal sort of, like, story arc. It's such a fantasy movie because he literally starts as just some, like, nobody hacker.
Right. Yeah.
And ends the movie as, like, God
a
himself.
God. Yeah.
Flying around, which I think is a lot of what makes the first movie so good, is to see his progression.
It's also like it's got this. It's perfect that it ends with that Rage Against the Machine song. It's
right,
like,
wake up.
Yeah,
right,
it ends and it's like, yeah, you gotta fight the fucking man. And you know, you compare that to the overall message that you get at the end of the third film, which, you know, I'm not gonna jump the gun.
Right,
is a little bit restrictive and like, let's compromise, guys. And, like, it's just not as, you know, fucking rock and roll.
We should go on record as, like, we all, I think, love the first Matrix movie, but really don't like the sequels. I mean, that's where I stand. I'm assuming that's where you guys
stand. For some reason.
Let me chime in real quick, because we actually, we messed up. So we should probably
say. I had
a
feeling that Stephen Sommers is not on.
Oh, we need a retraction.
No. It was not. Stephen Sommers is not directing Captain America, the first Avenger.
Okay.
It's not the guy who did The Mummy. It's the guy that did Jurassic Park 3.
Yes.
Joe Johnston.
He's good.
But
he did Jumanji as well.
He did The Wolfman.
Oh, man.
Isn't that hilarious?
Wow.
Yeah, he did
The Wolfman. It all comes back around.
It's full circle.
That's amazing.
Which is probably why Hugo Weaving is the
Red
Skull.
Yeah, makes sense.
It's like, oh, okay.
They bonded on set.
But Dan, I'm assuming you're with me that, like, Matrix 1, great. Matrix 2, 3, like, totally horrible.
They were the worst.
Yeah. It's really amazing that it's such a drop-off from such, like, a great movie.
Well, there's just such a sense of gravitas that's going on in the second and third film where you just feel like the first one went to their heads and they felt like no matter what they did, people were just going to eat it the fuck up. So they went nuts.
Well, it's sad. It's like we mentioned Star Wars earlier. Like, it's really sad because I feel like the Matrix trilogy, I guess, like, really could have been the next, like, Star Wars
for
movies.
Sure.
Like, I feel like that first movie, it was poised to, like, if the sequels had been of the caliber, or even maybe not even as good, but still not bad as the first one, it would just be, like, the new big, huge trilogy.
Right, spoke to our times.
Yeah.
It was, you know, it was something we hadn't seen before. They had a chance to break new ground in special effects. It really could have been the new Star Wars.
I mean, I think, like, on the level of, like, a Star Wars or an Indiana Jones, or,
right,
like, Back to the Future, Lord of the Rings, like, that kind of, these, like, time-honored... Remember
Lord
trilogies.
Of the Rings kind of became Star Wars for our generation.
That's
though,
true.
Yeah, I feel like with the Wachowski brothers, it's all about, like, the control, like the total control, the endless budget. Like what you were saying before of, like, they were using the Dark City set.
Right.
Having to cut
quarters. They're restrained.
They have to justify everything they want to do to the people because they're unproven. Like, what blockbuster have they made? Like, what movie have they made? I mean, they made Bound, but, like, they haven't proven anything. Like, you know, so they have to kind of scratch and claw for everything, and they have to justify, like, wait, why do you need, like, all the special effects?
Like, so,
why,
like,
do you need
the
this?
Seven
why do you need
orgy
that?
Scenes that were in the original script of The Matrix got, like, iced.
Yeah, and in the future, and then the two and three, it's just, like... Like, we were just joking during the movie, like, imagine the looks on all the Warner Brothers execs' faces when they're, like, going over the storyboards for, like, the crazy Zion Trinity
Neo fuck
scene.
Yeah, this really
kind of
brings us into the second movie. What you say?
We were having this conversation, like, as if they were trying to convince the Wachowskis to, like, cut it. Like, imagine them having to, like, show all the executives the storyboards for that, like, whole Zion, like, rave fuck scene, and then be like, are you guys sure that you want to, like,
actually,
we really put this movie, and they were like, yes, that is the fucking Matrix. What is the Matrix? This is what they're fighting for. This is a survival. It has to be 20 minutes. It's no shorter
than
that.
There is no Matrix without the fuck scene rave.
I could just see both the brothers, like, tearing up the scripts and storming out. Well, then let's not make a fucking movie. Because if you don't want to have the Zion scene, you don't understand what this is about. This is what the Matrix is about.
Here, my big problem with that scene, watching it back, my main problem is we are in a post-apocalyptic society. They clearly show that the only music they really have access to is a bunch of guys pounding on drums. So what? Well, like, we're fucking listening to this, like, techno score that sounds like a David Guetta song, but, like, what are they actually hearing? You know, the people who are dancing. We never hear
right.
what they're
like, is that
hearing.
The practical?
There's
exactly.
a house
and they're clearly, like, raving. Like, they're, like, listening to, like, some kind of... But, like, we don't... Like, it couldn't actually exist in reality.
Well, you know, the sad thing is, like, we joked that, like, they had to fight for it. But in reality, I bet, like, it went by without a second's thought.
Yeah,
it
was nobody
like,
was like,
because
all sure?
those producers, I bet, like, were just... Great!
Sounds great!
Sounds good to me! Like, because all they're thinking is like, oh, these guys made a $1 billion.
Remember when Lawrence Fishburne is like perched on a rock and he's like, he's like delivering this speech to everyone and you're like, is this even the same character?
But he
the
even like
movie?
Sounds different. Like, Lawrence Fishburne's like big man voice sounds really weird.
To put one positive spin on the whole Zion situation, I do remember when we first got to Zion, I thought it was interesting that there were so many black people in this trilogy.
Oh, like a guilt cast?
No,
like...
no. I just think that we have lots of fantasy / sci-fi / genre trilogies that have like very little like minority features in there. And this is like a fucking United Colors of Benetton ad once you get to Zion.
Oh my
you
God.
Know? Like it's almost superfluous ethnicity in the Matrix movies.
Well, you could see where they were going for. It's almost like human society began in Africa. They're saying they're trying to trace
right, it's
it
like
back
to
the source.
This aboriginal kind of roots of, yeah. of mankind. Too bad that all these white dudes are wearing like kimonos and walking around
right.
like council members and like
it's a little pretentious.
Yeah, that's the big mistake. Like, all right, if you go from Matrix 1 where it's just action up the ass, like amazing, and even on the downtime it's like funny. And there's those like kung fu, all those training scenes.
Yeah,
like to
awesome.
to me, any scene that's not fighting in the first movie is okay because it's all like explaining the Matrix to you, explaining the premise, dealing with all that. This in the sequels, it's just anything that's not the fighting is these. It's like Star Wars prequel like council sessions.
Yeah, bureaucratic policies
so
and contingency plans and. Well, what are we going to do? And a bunch of characters you don't know who
yeah,
have
like,
confusing
all these
titles.
New people, like, oh.
Telling you, like,
the
oh,
the guy from
yeah.
Lost and his wife and their, like, marriage
problems.
Wait,
Michael,
right,
from,
Michael
Lost.
From Lost, yeah.
Who, didn't he replace
oh,
Tank?
Oh, yeah, we should
who,
mention.
Yeah, the guy who, like, thought that he was going to get paid
yeah,
whatever.
Like, so in the first Matrix movie, there's Tank and, what's his name, Bowser?
Dozer. Like, Tank and
they're like brothers, and he has this whole scene like, yeah, freshborn, guy of silent. Zion, and like he's not in the second movie, and they kind
they
of
say he died.
Sort of explain it, yeah.
They say
they're
that
like,
he died,
but I guess from the wounds he had in the first movie, he just expired after the credits.
Yeah, he
roll,
had all
like,
that time to like.
I guess, but in reality, it was like this guy.
His agent fucked up.
Oh, it's like so his agent demanded more money or something.
He demanded like, more money, and his agent was like, "Yeah, I'm gonna get you more money, kid. Like, right. you it. This is a worldwide hit."
Right. His agent
they
didn't have the
they
good
can't make
sense
it without
to like.
Dozer.
There's no Matrix without Tank.
Yeah.
You kidding me?
Yeah, they try to hold them ransom. Like, if you think like Crispin Glover couldn't even pull it off for the Back to Future movies.
And what's another failed like Terrence Howard for Iron Man?
Yeah.
They just replace
you. If those guys aren't doing
yeah,
it, like,
here's,
how is
here's
Tank
a memo.
Doing
if you're
it,
not the lead, you got.
Sit down.
Yeah,
just sit
you could
down.
Get replaced yeah. pretty
they
easily.
They could replace, I think, aside from Keanu Reeves, they could have probably
not
replaced anybody.
Moss.
I think
they could have written her out of the movie.
They
I mean,
killed
they,
her
were,
off.
They were going so for like all this love stuff. I feel like that's the most forced. Their relationship is the most forced thing in the whole
yeah.
movies. I don't buy that
well,
they're in love.
Even in the first movie, her being like in love with him seems sort of out of left field. Like,
yeah. It does. Because she's like this mentor to him,
yeah.
almost.
Because to me, it's really easy to have a scene where they, like, sit down and sort of have real talk and, like, kind of get to know each other. And you could sort of, like, put in, like, love story.
You're like, why does she
but
love him?
But they don't. Yeah, he doesn't do anything.
And even the Oracle's like, oh, you can't tell that she's in love with you. It's like, dude, I can't tell.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Really? Like.
Yeah, I think there's a line in the second movie where someone's like, it's written all. It's like Monica Bellucci's like, yeah. I can just, your love is just dripping off of each other. Like, I can tell. And I'm like, really?
Yeah.
They're in these,
not,
like, Nazi uniforms, like, cold as ice.
Yeah,
like,
she's like, couldn't be more cold. And
yeah.
Like, yeah.
And, like, sexually ambiguous, which
I
plays,
know.
Again, into the whole weird Wachowski thing.
I know.
Another thing we should
mention.
How'd
you like to be their mom, by the way? Sorry.
Proud and rich.
Yeah.
What kind of household you come up in, though, where, like, I don't know. I'm jumping the gun.
Well, I think if the rave scene taught us anything, the Zion fuckfest, like, it's sort of like these guys are, there's something going on, especially with the sexuality. Like, there's hints of it in the first Matrix. Like, there's that dude that buys like the data from Neo, and he's like, "Oh, what are you guys doing?" And he's like, "Yeah, I'm fucking mescaline. Like, only way to ride. You want to come with us and party?" And there's all this innuendo, like the lady's on him, and you get the idea that like, come like fuck us,
yeah,
tonight.
And Mouse is like drifting off late night into the Matrix to fuck the woman in the red dress, like.
But it's all like under the surface, like it's all inferred.
Yeah, it's just right there, spilled open, right in front
of everybody.
In the
new movies, just everywhere. There's like Neo and Trinity have like a sex scene that's in no way like really that cool. Like it's so weird. Like
it's like a Hype Williams video. That sex scene.
They're like intercutting between this rave and them fucking
it's
stuff,
like,
and
it's getting real tribal up in there.
And then we should talk about the Merovingian,
the sex cake,
and his sex program in the cake that he gives to the woman.
Why would a computer program want to like give another like somebody else like a sex cake? To, like, get their vagina wet. Like, what is the point of that?
Oh, and then we see, like, a computer code, like, vag shot that, like, literally goes in as she's getting hot. Like, what the...
Were they reading, like, again, was Warner Brothers reading the script and they were like, binary code vagina? Are you guys sure? That's what the fucking Matrix is all about! The first movie had a bunch of binary vaginas.
You don't have coded snatch. You just... This is a waste of our time.
It's like, it's not even art now. Like, I'm just going to walk away.
Yeah, and we should talk about the Merovingian as a character. Like, what? It takes up so much time in that movie.
He clearly was meant to be like the Jabba the Hutt of the series.
I guess. Like,
no, don't they all represent like different philosophers? Isn't he supposed to like represent a different philosopher?
Well, speaks to more how they really just sort of like pick and chose just aspects of philosophy and stuff. Like that, they like the Merovingian. I know there's like a historical reference. Unfortunately, I don't know it off the top of my head. But the Merovingian is, like, a lot of the names, like Trinity is clearly, like, you know, the Christian sort of name. And, like, everyone's names sort of, like, speak to some sort of philosophy. But one of the silver linings of Matrix Reloaded, I don't think they execute it well. But the concept of, like, the Merovingian and his guys and this idea that, like, there's these rogue programs that are not necessarily for the humans, but also not for the like machines. They're sort of like on their own, and they sort of explain them as they do this a little bit in the first movie, like with the deja vu, where they take like a real life thing and sort of explain it as like a Matrix glitch, where they're like, oh, deja vu is like a Matrix
everybody glitch. Can relate to being like, oh, dreadlock ghosts,
right?
That's a part of our reality.
That's why I say the execution's poor, because I think the idea of like ghosts and vampires and werewolves and things like that being just weird anomaly, like computer anomalies, is interesting. But yeah, to have two like albino dreadlocks, razor blade wielding like ghost guys, not good.
Just stick with me for a second, though. In theory, those guys could have been really cool. Like,
man, coulda, woulda, shoulda, because those guys suck hard.
Well, to give them the like razor blade teeth at when they like turn ghosty.
Yeah, when you see them as ghosts,
they look
like,
so stupid.
Apparitions.
Yeah, that's kind of bad.
Whack.
But I don't know. I like what they're going for of this idea of like. Explaining real life phenomenon through the, because it's saying like literally you in the theater right now, like you're in the Matrix right now. That sort of leads to Dan, your discovery of the religion of the Matrix or whatever. I guess they like actually bought that. What was it called? Matrixism?
Wait,
like
let me
we looked
look,
this
yeah,
up.
Matrixism. It's on
what
Wikipedia.
Fuck is that?
So like people, I guess, were so into this movie that some people formed a religion. That's like influenced by the Matrix, as if like this is the path.
There's
like,
so many retarded people.
This shit is for real.
But that sort
of—it's not my fault. Your mind is clouded.
I know.
You've barely been
took
fed
the blue
way
pill,
too
dude.
Many dead human beings that have been
oh,
reprocessed.
Yeah. That's this is sort of going back to Matrix One, but I love the shot of there's like a baby in a tank being fed like intravenous like human remains. It's so disturbing. I can't believe they got away with that. That's like, of all the things they were able to get out there, that's amazing.
That's
like
that was
baby?
The whole precedent for all those fights. Yeah. If you don't have a baby being fed dead human remains,
right.
Then you don't know what the Matrix is. And then once they won that fight, then they could just
we can get anything
they had carte
now.
Blanche on everything. Because it worked, and it was like, yeah, you did it.
We got the dead baby. Yeah. Well, I guess it's not dead, but like it might as well. It's almost dead would be better. Like it's so horrifying what's happening to it.
Isn't it weird, though, that like, 10 years ago, all anybody could talk about was the fucking Matrix. It was huge, and now nobody like even remembers it. It's like it never happened.
Well,
that's how
when
bad those next
the shitty
movies
sequels.
Were.
They're just they're just a mess.
Which, to be fair though, all three of us saw the second movie together, and when we came out, we were very enthusiastic. And I'm trying for the life of me to remember why.
Well, after having just watched it, I think the reason is obviously not Revolutions, but Reloaded has a very interesting structure in that, like, all the best parts of the movie are at the tail end of the movie.
Yeah.
That, now, that, now that was, minus the Colonel Sanders, like, architect stuff, that's
right.
bad. But all the, there's a pretty impressive, like, highway
the car
fight
chase is fun.
That's really good. I mean, like, Keanu Reeves isn't in it, but it's pretty impressive. So, Dan, you've discovered Matrixism. You have the information, right?
Matrixism, or the Path of the One, is a new religious movement inspired by the motion picture trilogy, The Matrix, conceived by an anonymous group in the summer of 2004. They wrote this. They clearly wrote this, whoever made it. Matrixism carries with it four main beliefs that are described as the four tenets of Matrixism. Briefly, there are belief in a messianic prophecy, use of psychedelics as a sacrament,
okay.
a perception of reality as multi-layered and semi-subjective, and adherence to the principles of at least one of the world's major religions. What? So
what?
You also are like Christian? That's so lame.
You're like, I guess it's a way to get in people that like, oh, this works, this jives with Christianity or something
yeah.
like.
Well, you know, it's a multi-layered reality, dude. Matrixism.
Right. Oh, we should talk about in Matrix Reloaded. It's sort of a mixed bag decision, I think, but they, Hugo Weaving as Agent Smith, at the end of the first Matrix, gets killed by Keanu Reeves in this sort of, like, climax of the movie. Like, he literally jumps into him, blows him up, he's gone. And then they decide to bring him back for the second movie, which I can understand why the decision's made, because, like, he's such
he's
a strong
good,
yeah. part
it's
of the first movie.
It's just the classic Ben Linus move.
Right. From Lost, Ben
yeah,
Linus.
Something that works well in
Drive. He's clearly not meant to be the main right. villain, but then he becomes sort of the main villain just because...
But
it,
yeah, it's
you know.
It's troublesome that he returns, because there's so many logical leaps. And the way they use him, where he's sort of this, like, viral infection on the Matrix.
It's the same thing as the whole, like, ghost thing. Is it's like, it could be a cool idea, but it's just the way that they do it.
Yeah.
The execution is off.
Well, it's just tough to, like, he literally blows into 1,000 pieces, and now I'm led to believe, like, he's still alive.
Well, it's the Matrix. Anything can happen.
Yeah. I mean, I can see upping the importance of a character. Like, if you watch, like, the original Star Wars movie, Darth Vader's, like, he's important, but he's almost he's like a lackey to Grand Moff Tarkin. He's sort of, he seems like a middleman.
Do you think that Lucas knew that he was the dad? No way, right?
No, I don't think so.
No way.
I don't think so. No, you can't. I think he's just a villain.
I got another crazy question. Was that even Lucas's idea, do you think?
I would think so.
What if it wasn't, though? What if it wasn't his idea?
There's no way we could know. I mean,
but I'm just thinking, what are the odds on that?
I think given we know at this point the full stretch of George Lucas's imagination, that's a fairly high chance that was suggested to him by somebody else.
I'm just saying, like, I mean, I don't want to totally put Lucas on blast because I love American Graffiti's a good movie, Star Wars a great movie. It's like he's clearly capable of doing awesome,
right.
coming up with it. But I just wonder, it's like, it's revealed in Empire. He's not the credited screenwriter or director of the movie.
Yeah, I
what
mean,
are the odds that
it's
like
totally,
not even his
totally
idea?
Totally possible that
someone
somebody could have brought,
like,
it to the table.
Hey, like, what if we just made
as, like, a genius idea?
I wonder.
Yeah. If that's up for debate, then, like, most certainly the Leia's thing. Like, they pulled that out of their ass. That, like,
yeah,
Leia's, like, Luke's sister or whatever. Because if you watch the first Star Wars movie,
oh,
like,
yeah, no way.
There's
not
no intent of, like, he's, like, hot for her and, like.
Yeah, not a chance.
But I think, I mean, the reason I bring up Vader is he's clearly someone who was, like, a fan favorite, really awesome. And so they really up the Vader ante from Star Wars to Empire, where now he's suddenly, like, he's the big show, like, he's the main villain, he's, like, so important and so powerful. But I think it works for that movie because, you know, it's like he gets away and he's not dead or anything. But with Agent Smith, it's like, I think they just upgrade him to a level he doesn't deserve.
Yeah, it's almost like, what if Vader's TIE fighter had exploded and then in Empire,
right.
he walks out.
He's just out.
And they're like, well, you know.
And there's 1,000 Vaders with lightsabers running at somebody.
Like, oh, yeah, by the way, I want to be on record as it's the worst use of computer-generated effects I've ever seen in my entire life.
No, wait. I mean, Bullet Time was number one. Burly Brawl was number two. That's just how it works.
No, the Burly Brawl or whatever, the Agent Smith Brawl, is the worst use of special effects I've ever seen.
Well, there's a big jump from the first Matrix movie to the others where they really – like, the first one's seems like mainly practical, like, shot in camera, and then they use effects when they need to. But in the second one, especially in the Agent Smith doubles fight – it starts like pretty good.
It's cool at the first.
And then there's a clear moment where like Neo like grabs a pole and hits the like crap switch where it's just CG.
Well, it's
the
a
whole
CG.
Thing.
Yeah, everything you're seeing is computer. It's You've got a human being head to toe, completely CG, like in slow motion right in front of you, clearly not a person.
Which I remember when it came out in 2003, like I remember it looking really bad then. In the theater as I'm watching it, being like, oh, this looks kind of bad. Watching it now, in 2011 now, because it actually just turned 2011, it looks fucking terrible.
So worse. No, it's literally the worst. And not just in, like, that it's the crappiest CG. Because it's like, you know, if you watch, like, on, like, a Sci-Fi Channel movie and the CG is, like,
right,
so bad.
Right.
Like, obviously it's not, like, the worst CG, but it's just sort of, like, it is in terms of, like, what it's trying to accomplish and how far it misses from what, you know, just it's like the dumbest allocation of CG.
Yeah, it's really ill-conceived, the idea of like you would use that kind of stuff for like 2 seconds when it's like someone jumps from one car to another car.
You can't see that. You could
you
sort
don't
of see
slow
them.
Down time and hold on it for like 45 seconds.
As you see his face, like this computer
it's
face.
So bad.
It's almost like in Lord of the Rings and Return of the King when Legolas is climbing on the Oliphant or whatever.
Right.
And it's like a CG man like zipping around.
The whole scene CG.
And that's really bad. Imagine if it was
or
that.
Harry Potter and with the Quidditch when they like.
Or Spider-Man spiding around town, which looks like absolute dog shit. If you pop in Spider-Man from 2002, strap the fuck in for like the worst CG ever. Him like slipping around, it's almost unwatchable. Like Spider-Man 2, they made it like sort of better. It was like a little better because they kind of mix like the tentacles of Doc Ock. Sometimes they're practical.
Right.
But like some of that Spider-Man shit is just unwatchable. Like it's so bad CG.
Well, it really shows. I mean, I say this now and I'll probably eat my words in another 10 years, but like it shows how I think with especially with Tron Legacy coming out, it's really gotten to a point where I think Tron's helped by the fact that it's a computer reality.
Yeah.
So you can definitely suspend your disbelief a little more, but the Jeff Bridges CG figure that's a character in that movie actually look, there's moments where it's kind of Matrix-y,
they
where
put
you're
too
like
too much light. Whenever they put too much light on him, it looks.
There's
great.
Moments where it looks not real, but then there's also moments where you're like, it looks really pretty good.
To where you're kind of okay with it.
Yeah, like it's kind of.
They wouldn't have
working.
Been able to make that movie 3 or 4 years ago.
Yeah,
it wouldn't have been able to.
Like imagine
work.
A movie with Agent Smith the entire time is computer generated. You
couldn't
would,
do it.
You wouldn't be able to swallow it. But it's like,
yeah, it helps that they're inside a computer. Yeah. When you see him in the beginning in the real world,
yeah,
when he
it's
turns around
laughable.
At his son, you're like, why? Like, because that's almost the same reason that annoys me about the Agent Smith fight is that it's like. It's so avoidable. Like, why do this? Like, with the Jeff Bridges thing in Tron, at the beginning of the movie, you should just be, like, the camera should just be behind him. You should just never see his face. I guess they think it's important to establish, like, look, he looks exactly like the dad. But it's like, come on, we get it. You know, you don't have to see it. Because it's like, keep that in the computer world because you get a little more leeway. If you put it in the real world, it's kind of...
But it's even when it's not working or is working, I feel like... It's like it's getting there into a place where, like, clearly in 2003 when they conceived this huge scene where he's jumping around on a pole and, like, kicking as the camera spins around him, like, that was, interesting idea, but it's just the computer graphics are not there to do it yet. But now it's, like, it's getting closer and maybe...
I disagree. I think it's... I don't think it's not, like, the technology wasn't there yet and they tried to push it to a realm where it couldn't go. I just think that's almost, like, that's, like, the place where no man should go.
Right.
Like, you know what I mean?
It's
like,
better...
It's pointless. Because
two
fight
guys fighting is better than
it's
that.
Better. Yeah. Like, him and fighting Agent Smith in the subway station is 8,000 times better than him fighting 30 CG agents, no matter how good the CG is.
They already did that. So I think they're like, well, let's try this instead.
Well, it's also
the
like
technology just wasn't there.
They wrote themselves into the world's biggest corner by having your main protagonist become invincible and all powerful. Because you can tell in the later movies, like, they literally come up with ways to, like, get him out of the fight.
He's flying there for, like, 30 minutes.
Yeah.
They're waiting on him.
In the second movie, yeah, the big freeway chase, which is probably one of the best parts of the movie, they literally have to, like, annex Neo from the movie and get him, like, 1,000 miles away.
Yeah.
Because he's flying around. And so I think a lot of what doesn't work is, like, they're trying to think of, like, well, he already kicked the shit out of Agent Smith, and he can beat him with one hand. So, like, what's the logical step? Like, okay, throw like 50 Agent Smiths at him, and now it's sort of a challenge. Like, yeah. I can see how they got there.
I know, I get it. But like, when there was like 20 Agent Smiths, and there was no, like, there was CG, but they weren't CG people.
Right, but it was really subtle.
It was awesome. Like, and it was really cool, and it would have been a cool scene. But then they just, like, where they took it to, it was not even, to me, it's irrelevant where the technology is. You just shouldn't even do that. Like, it's just so bad.
Well, my question is, why are they all attacking him in that scene, yet there's only one Agent Smith attacking him in the last scene, even though they're all Agent Smith?
Oh, he even says, he's like, oh, I know that I'll beat you, so I'll only fight you with one guy.
Retarded.
Well, as bad as that scene is, at least they had the good grace to realize, like, okay, for the big final battle, like, we should have two guys fighting and not, like, 1,000. But before that's getting to Matrix Revolution. Before we get there, there's one last thing I want to talk about in Reloaded, which is the ending of the movie with the architect, the architect scene. It's interesting because I feel like Matrix Reloaded starts pretty bad with the rave and the stuff we talked about, and I feel like it takes a turn towards being not that bad. Like, there's that weapon fight in the sort of like Siberian, you know, palace where everyone's grabbing weapons, and it's sort of this escalation of like, okay, we've done like hand-to-hand kung fu combat, so let's do that, but let's throw a bunch of swords and knives and crazy shit. Like, that's okay. And then the freeway chase is all right.
Well, in that movie, it's just like, with the exception of the CG Holocaust that is the Burly Brawl,
yeah,
the action in Matrix Reloaded is awesome, story is terrible.
Yeah.
So it's like, it's cool that it's like these bells and whistles and it's awesome action. You don't really care about – I mean, anything you care about the characters is just like a holdover from the first movie.
Right.
But I think
it's a little bit of promise too. The first time I saw that I was like, oh, wow. Clearly this all means something. They've got grand plans. They're going to blow my mind.
That's true.
This.
You are like enticed, but where's it going to go?
Even the stuff with the architect, the first time I saw it, I was like, oh, wow, this is going to go really cool.
Well, I think I'm most happy with the end of the first movie, where it's like Neo's come into himself, and then he literally calls up the machines and is like, look out, motherfuckers. Yeah. Like, I'm coming for you. It could have ended there, never seen anything else, I'd have loved it.
It would have been remembered forever. It would have been if it were like, I feel like the first one was, its immortality was damaged almost by what came after.
But in the second movie, what I mean is, like, yes, those fights alone don't make it a good movie, but I feel like they got to a place where you could have walked away being like, well, it wasn't as good, but at least it had this entertaining action and but all my goodwill, like, just goes down the toilet when Colonel Sanders shows up in a room,
right,
and explains that this has happened 6 times. Like, it's like as if nothing matters.
It is kind of a way to just sort of torpedo every sense of specialness that's going on in your movie, to be like, oh yeah, by the way, this story that you're following and all these characters and all this cool stuff,
especially
like
time.
Really irrelevant, because this happens like over and over again, and it's not really that special.
I don't. I have to differ with you on this. The idea that, if you will, all of this has happened before and all of this will happen again. It's kind of
another thing with like robots fighting.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a cool idea for me though. I was intrigued the first time I saw it.
I'm not going to disagree with you. When I first saw it, I kind of felt shitty about it. Like, that was my gut reaction. I felt like
I got pants.
Yeah. Like, I felt like it's almost like, hey, you thought this movie was really cool. Well, actually it's like not that cool. And I was like, that was my gut reaction. But watching it this time, the architect was actually, like, of all the things that I thought was terrible, it barely even registered on the Richter scale. And actually, like, wasn't as shitty as I remembered. Like, I will say that. Like,
right.
I mean, I think the presentation was really dumb. Like, him in the Colonel Sanders outfit being, like, vis-a-vis quid pro quo and all that bullshit
right.
was bad.
Quid pro quo.
But, like, the idea is what you're talking about, of the repeated, the cycling of it and all, like, the different ones. And he's like an iteration, right, of like an anomaly, is actually kind of a cool idea.
You expand the story because you can't go much further. Like you said, his journey, the character's journey is already over. He's become immortal. So what do? You have to expand the entire playing field of the movie.
Just the way they do it, it sucked.
My take on it, like, I get that it's interesting. Like, in a movie that sort of got bad, it's like, at least you can take out of it, like, well, that's an interesting philosophical concept. But I just think of, like, what would you do if in Empire Strikes Back, Luke goes into the cave on Dagobah, and then they come out and they're like, there's been 10 Lukes, and, like, you're an anomaly. I just, like, that's idiotic to me. Like, you don't take your main character and make him, like,
it's true. It does dilute, like, it. Yeah, it dilutes the value.
Because all that, every amazing moment you ever had in The Matrix of, he's doing it!
Yeah, he's the one. Yeah.
They literally take a big old crap all over it and be like, you know what? We knew you were going to do that, and it doesn't even matter. Like, that.
But, John, he was the super one. He was, not only was he the right one, he was the one one.
He really was the one.
Well, it is sort of shocking when he gets out of all that and he's in what's the real world, like in the Nebuchadnezzar, and literally uses the same, like, voodoo powers.
That is mind-numbingly retarded. I cannot express how stupid that is.
When he does that in the real world,
he gets real-world powers.
Doesn't make any sense at all.
Which really, it leads us into the Matrix Revolutions.
The biggest pile of crap. How does he do? How is he affecting? I mean, the only way you explain it is it's like, okay, well, he just has this, he's like,
he's magic.
It's
he's
literally magic, like a leap of faith. That, like, yes, he is a savior and has magic Jesus powers.
Well, it's just, or you could go a little step further and say that the real world is a matrix of its own, if you will.
Right.
And so he, like, figured out how to break through that one.
He could break through the bigger illusion, too.
But the movie doesn't give you that. Like, it doesn't go there. At least even subtly. Like, it doesn't even give you that realm of interpretation. This is just the first example I can think of. Like, Inception, right? Like, so the way that ends, it's like, oh, it could be a dream within a dream, whatever. It doesn't tell you.
Right.
But it gives you at least, while it's not, some people might think it's not that subtle, it's subtle enough to where it's like, it's sort of up to you. Like, is it a dream or whatever? They could be multi-dream layers. The Matrix 3 doesn't really do that. He starts doing the Jesus powers and he breaks through. But there's no, like, clue as to, like, this could be another level of the Matrix.
Right.
Like, you have to supply that all on your own.
Well, I
they
feel
don't
like
give you any help.
They really squander this sort of golden ticket they have where, like, you've invented this alternate reality of the Matrix, which really, if you think about it, is just, like, an excuse to do whatever the fuck you want to do.
It's like a playground.
You can have him fly and do crazy shit, and literally it's all rationalized because you're like, oh, it's a simulated reality. He's bending the rules of reality. Like, that's really interesting that you could sort of hack it with your own mind and, like, bend time and space and jump
around.
And
it makes sense. It's like, okay,
and
that's
still
logical.
It's totally believable.
Yeah.
But, yeah, for him to do that in our world – that now you don't have computers and numbers and things to, like, rationalize it. You literally have to just go with, like, he has magic powers.
And that's a stretch as a viewer you just can't accept.
Yeah.
It's like you reject it immediately. Like, almost the way they're talking about how the original humans rejected the utopian society
right,
that the robots
right.
built for them. It's like you just reject it immediately. You're just like, no, that would not happen. That's not – I mean, I understand it is a movie with giant – dreadlock monsters attacking like a giant, like a human base in the future. Like,
yeah,
it's ridiculous.
Why do the giant robots have like dreadlocks again? The big like robot ships.
How are they flying around? They're like just suspending gravity. I guess they have like some anti-gravity field.
Yeah,
that
I mean, who knows? It's
and
the
why
Earth
did
of 6,000. Who knows?
Why did the robots? Why did it take them so long to find the humans when they're like blasting their fucking techno music through the ground?
Well, what I want to know is if you're going to make a third Matrix movie, and even the second one, even though it was kind of bad, has its moments of like being somewhat entertaining. They certainly open with a kind of a bang, but in the third movie, they decide to open with Neo in the train station.
Right.
Just
so boring.
In a null time pocket of boredom. Like,
first of all, can I just say that the scene was set for a sad experience the first time I saw the final one? Because I remember the first one was like I'd heard some buzzy stuff about it and kind of heard the plot. Supposed to, you know, be really cool and inventive. Went to see it with my dad. There was like a buzz in the crowd. Second movie, of course, we all saw it together at midnight during the summer.
And the crowd couldn't have been more excited
to see that movie. Absolutely huge. Fever pitch. And then for the third one, I saw it opening day. It was like raining in New York. And I go in, and there was like just the saddest people in the movie theater. And there was like maybe it was this was opening day that I saw it.
Oh, man.
It was like maybe like a third full. There was like some skinny woman crying like in the corner of the theater. There
Wait,
was
they
like,
weren't excited about 45 straight minutes of Mech Warrior fighting with characters you just met in the new movies that weren't even in the first movie? They weren't into
but
that.
It was just it was the saddest scene to set everything, and I knew it was not going to be a good experience from there. Then, like anything could have happened at that point, and I was just depressed at where the series had gone.
Those action scenes in Revolutions with the people in the Mech Warrior suits shooting all the dreadlock monsters, it's like visual diarrhea. It's like all the computer and all the everything going on. It's just like 40 minutes of just like. Fighting with these characters that you just met who weren't even – you don't care about at all. I was so bored. We talk about the train station as being boring.
Yeah.
That was boring, but I was not – I was more bored by like the Mech Warrior fight scenes.
Well, to me, Matrix Revolutions is so mind-numbingly dull from beginning to end.
Yes.
There's not a – like as bad as Reloaded is, like at least there are moments where I'm like, oh, that's kind of cool. Like – there's not a solid second of Revolutions that is in any way entertaining or fun to watch. It's just so bad. So bad. It's so and so many characters that have nothing to do with the people you care about. Yeah, like you said, like Neo and Trinity literally like get on a ship and wave goodbye.
Yeah. They're on their own for the entire movie, right?
Like like an hour before we see them again.
You have this huge grand battle of Zion, like no Neo.
And Morpheus is like just a total side character. Like, he's the equivalent of that alien in Lando ship.
Yeah. Minimiti.
Like, yeah, that's his role in the whole Zion fight.
Yeah, just so Jada Pinkett Smith can, like, fly amazingly.
Everyone
can,
it was almost like, y'all be in your movie if there's 9 references to how good a pilot I am.
Yeah.
Every 2 seconds, it's cutting somebody. Wow, she can really fly. Whoa, she's a badass. Man. Oh, you know what? All I can imagine is that family watching the movie when it came out. And them getting all, like, amped up and, like, how everybody's saying how great a pilot she is. Will Smith's just like, yeah, that's my girl.
It was in the contract. They had to make it up to him after, like, passing on him.
And the thing is, like, as much as we joke about the like, rave scene being all sexually weird, there's a scene in Revolutions where you go to the Merovingian again and they're in, like, an S&M club.
It's, like, even
weirder.
It
is out of fucking control. It's like the Wachowski brothers lost their minds.
I know.
And they're people with like World War II gas masks and literally like tits out, bare tits in the movie as like a girl titty twists like another girl. It's like, what the fuck? Like,
that's a Tuesday night at the Wachowski brothers.
I know, that's like at their house.
Yeah. I mean, those dudes are into some weird. If Bound and like these Matrix movies are any indication. And then the whole like, isn't there rumors of like a sex change?
Yeah. So while we were watching the movies, I looked it up on Wikipedia because I was saying it like it was a fact. And you were saying that you thought it was a rumor.
Yeah.
It is a fact.
I've always suspected that. I think I read that it's widely speculated that he had a sex change, but that it's not true or that.
Not necessarily a sex change, necessarily. Just he's living as a woman now.
Right.
Oh. Okay, so on Wikipedia, it just says, Larry Wachowski made public appearances dressed as a woman using the name Lana Wachowski. And then there was a column published. It says, published May 30th, 2003, David Polin wrote. It says, every indication I have says that Larry Wachowski is now in the process of changing his sex, dressing in public like a woman, taking female hormones, and having a sex change operation. This was further supported by a March 2006 San Francisco Chronicle article on transgender people, which repeated that Larry Wachowski has changed his sex and is now living as Lana Wachowski. And the producer of the Matrix movies, Joel Silver, later said that the rumors concerning his sex change were all untrue. They just don't do interviews, so people make things up, he says.
Yeah.
Joel Silver, who can really trust him anyway? He's the one that went on the MTV Movie Awards and said that the second and third movie are going to be amazing.
Similar statements were made to Fox News by crew members working on Speed Racer, one employee pointing out on the call sheets it still says Larry Wachowski.
Yeah. Like, my guess is that he certainly didn't do himself any favors by, like, them just being kind of sexually freaky. So if the movies are an indication they're into weird S&M stuff, I wouldn't put it past him, like, putting a dress on and getting whipped and doing weird shit. But my guess is it sort of took on this, like, Richard Gere gerbil life where it went from, like, he's sort of sexually freaky, dresses like a woman, to, like, he's literally getting a sex change, is now a woman,
right,
had his dick cut off. I mean, that's, like, a big
right
step.
Yeah, yeah, fair. But I...
Sounds like rumors to me.
Have you seen pictures of him, though? Like, if you took... If you look up pictures of him...
Maybe,
like,
he took the hormones. Maybe that's the truth.
I could believe that. I mean, we're not saying that he had to get the sex change, but, like, I'm not saying he's transgendered, but he is a transvestite.
Right.
Oh, yeah, okay.
For all intents and purposes.
That,
you can't,
yeah, that
look,
makes sense.
Like, that's undeniable proof, the pictures you have of him. You can't say that he's
there's
not
there's photos of him, like,
woman
in,
yeah,
like, fishnet stockings, like, Dr. Frankenfurtered up, like, he is transvestite.
In
or
a really,
like,
ugly kind of way, yeah.
Okay.
Like, shaved eyebrows and, like, really, like if Frankenfurter was in The Matrix, he would look like Lana Wachowski right now.
All
right,
in Matrix Revolutions, Neo is blinded, like, halfway through the movie.
Mm-hmm.
Royce, I don't know if you remember this, but, like, yeah, he gets, like, blinded. Dan, what did you think about
how long
Neo
does he
gets
have that
blinded?
When Neo gets blinded?
Yeah. How long does he have that?
I just wish that I could share the same thing so I had to stop watching that movie.
Yeah.
How long does he get blinded before Trinity dies?
A kind of a while.
No, he's blinded. Then there's 45-minute mech warrior battle.
Yeah.
Then you're okay back and then Trinity dies.
But that's okay. Not... That's after Agent Smith kind of commandeers a human body and gets himself out of the Matrix into another person.
This is the shit you forget about.
Yeah,
when it's been
that's
like a while.
It's like the cliffhanger of the second movie is like, oh, right, Agent Smith's in the sky, oh my god, and like, and so in the next movie he's literally running around like a saboteur on like ships, like knifing people.
Don't you think so many people besides the Wachowskis, if the first Matrix came out and you're like, all right, script two more movies, go, like. So many people could have done a better job than that. Because,
yeah.
Like, I feel like we could have come up with that.
Well, I say that a lot about the Star Wars movies, and I still hold true to that. Like,
for
I feel
sure.
like anyone could have made a better movie than what they did. But The Matrix, I think, is particularly difficult, especially where they leave the first movie. Like, it seems difficult to me to continue that story with Neo. I feel like Neo hits the, like, about as much of an arc as he's
Well, he's at the
get.
End of his hero's journey at the end
yeah,
of The Matrix.
Yeah, like, they try to do in The Matrix Matrix Revolutions, they try to do this, like, Neo literally becomes, like, Jesus Christ.
For sure. It's
then,
subtle in the first one.
Yeah.
But it's, like, it beats you
but
over the head.
It's
in
insane.
The last
like, he travels to the end of, like, I guess the mainframe of the evil
Oh, and
computer.
He talks to the big baby.
Yeah, there's, like, a giant
What the fuck
computer
is the deal
face.
With that big baby?
Like there's all the little spider guys, like, all form up into a face that's
But why
literally,
is it
like,
a baby?
I don't know. It's like, oh, welcome. And I guess he strikes a deal with the Matrix or with the thing that's like, I'll go kill Agent Smith out of the Matrix, and therefore you'd have to let humanity go.
Right.
It's mind-blowing
And
to
because
me.
It's a computer, of course, it has things like morals and honor.
Yeah.
So.
Like, why is it bound to this... Like, the whole arc of... The first movie is literally like, we are going to free humanity from the bondage of these machines. Let's free them. And then in the end of the third movie, he, like, basically barters with the machines.
Well, that's some real-life shit. You gotta make some compromises
keeps people in
sometimes.
The Matrix. I mean, Dan, what did you think about people still being in the Matrix at the end of the third movie?
Well, it's just like the biggest cop-out of all time. The first movie, they draw parallels to slavery. Like, you know, they...
Yeah.
It wouldn't...
Chains
when,
of bondage.
Like, my name is Neo. Like, I'm not going to accept your slave name.
Yeah.
And it's all about, like... Morpheus, this whole thing is like, we have to liberate all these people. And even, like, Cypher, the Joey Pantoliano character, is like... He's a dick and a villain for, like, wanting to be back in the Matrix and wanting to live this deluded life. Like,
yeah.
He's like, he's like faux, like creepily, like, laying on top of
Yeah, his,
Carrie
like,
Ann
his
Moss.
Mouth is, like, twitching while he's under, like,
Could
the
not
bad
be more villainous.
Twitch,
like, so people that would prefer to remain in the Matrix and want to live this lie are, like, demonized
cowards,
and horrible
yeah.
and cowardly.
Oh, and literally
and...
shot on sight by our heroes
yeah.
constantly.
Yeah. And
they sort of murder people.
And it's like, they're like, oh, the people that want to leave are going to leave. So wait, there's like half the people are still being intravenously fed human remains in our batteries in a harvest field. Like, this is a compromise. It's such a cop-out on the way the first movie ends, which is like, we're going to free everybody, and it's a Rage Against the Machine song, and it's like, all right, here we go.
That's what I'm saying. Like, it's punk rock at the end of the first movie, and you're like left with this whole like, rah, rah, yeah, let's go get them. But the ultimate kind of conclusion you reach by the end of the third movie is a more realistic one, which is less fun.
It's almost like in Star Wars or something with the Empire.
Yeah, they shake Palpatine's hand.
Half the rebels are going to get away, but the other half are just still going to be enslaved. Like, what? Yeah. Like, how is that
an ending?
Do you think
would it have been more satisfying if the humans had just died and been wiped out?
Well, I don't think that would have been more satisfying.
I don't know. Maybe it would have, though.
But it's what's really sad to me.
Like sticking to their principles.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing. Like Morpheus is sitting there, and he literally like tears in his eyes. Like I thought this day would never come. Like
nobody's been freed
I'm
at
here.
All.
Yeah. Like his mission isn't over. Like people are in the cusps.
It's as good as it was like a year, like right before the attack.
But correct me if I'm wrong, because you guys just watched it. But aren't everybody? Isn't the whole thing is everybody's at least been enlightened to the point where they know the Matrix exists and that it's fake, right?
It's the biggest, weirdest ending. Like, okay, like everyone in Zion,
and the like, do you think he's coming back and all that?
Everyone
bullshit.
In Zion is saved, fine. But then you cut to the city, and literally, there's this nice sunset, and it's the Oracle, it's the architect, and this like Indian girl that Neo met in the subway while he was like born
she was
out
like
of his
turned
mind.
Into Agent Smith briefly.
Yeah,
right?
They said she was the last like program that's not relevant or like old program that's supposed to be deleted or
right
whatever. And they like walk out and literally like the architect's like, oh, well played, you know, Oracle, like. And it's like, oh, the war is over, and I don't know how long this peace will last, but anyone who wants to leave can leave. So I can't imagine that, like, you and me sitting, like, working our jobs, like, and an agent walks up and is like, hello, like, you're in a simulated reality. Would you like to stay or go? Like,
yeah,
what?
It's like, they don't even go into it. Like, and so much
so
of the
dumb.
First movie is about the Matrix and that it has a hold of these people and they
right.
need to be free.
Yeah.
Not the weird ravers at Zion and whether they're going to live or die. We don't care about them.
Totally.
Because we're the people in the Matrix.
Yeah.
Like, that's
yeah.
what we
yeah,
care
Yeah, I don't give
about.
A fuck about the like, fuck pile at Zion.
And it's like, just, like, this one, you know, casual line that's dropped by the architect about, like, yeah, you know, I guess those guys. Yeah, I guess. I guess
yeah.
those people. Yeah, they all got freed. I guess. Maybe. And it's like, what?
He did bullshit. It! Like,
yeah, what?
Save them.
He saved Zion. Oh, great.
Yeah.
Well,
oh,
no,
great.
Maybe the idea is that he saved some of them, and that he's going to save all of them when he returns.
In the seventh iteration?
Not parallels, anybody? Just, you know.
Oh, no, they're so not solo about it. Like, he falls over, and he's literally, his
right,
arms
but is that,
are out.
Is that the
like,
idea,
Jesus.
Though, right? Like, because there's that
no,
whole
she,
left,
she even
there's
says,
the whole left behind thing, right?
No, there's a whole thing where the Indian girl goes to Oracle and is like, will we ever see Neo again?
Right.
And the Oracle's like, yes, I don't know, someday we might. Like Neo's going to come back.
But doesn't that play into this whole, like, evangelical left behind idea?
I get. I, to
the
me,
true
it's,
believers
it's just
will be
one of
and...
many things that they sort of like pull from.
Well, guys,
in the their
it's
movie.
Not. It's not Christian. It's Matrixism.
Well, I guess before we wrap it up, I mean, is there anything you guys want to go out on Matrix? Like, is there anything we didn't cover? Or
I
didn't
think
talk
that
about?
All the movies would have been far more successful if they were scored by Daft Punk.
I agree.
Totally. Well, it really shows that, like, Tron, yeah. Like, to me, Tron is like the Matrix sequel that never was, where, like, they got it right. And that there's not a bunch of council sitting around and
no.
talking for hours and hours. They just like nonstop.
Just cool shit.
Awesome music.
All
cool
the
fighting.
Time.
But all right, at the end of the day, to me, the Matrix trilogies is a classic lesson that we've seen many times and honestly we'll probably see again. Things can start great and there are great ideas and people can make great films, but that a limitless budget and nothing but yeses and no. sort of fighting for what you believe in always leads to horrible, horrible movies.
Is this what's leading into our Pirates of the Caribbean Cinemarathon podcast?
Yeah. Well, that's not even as good a start as like the Matrix.
Yeah,
it's
true.
Unless you're Quentin Tarantino or some like, you know, auteur that's, you know, got
Stanley
his shit
Kubrick
down.
Or something.
Yeah,
like,
who just
yeah.
like if they have total creative control, it's gonna be awesome. Although a lot of people would disagree with me about Tarantino, but
no,
idiots.
No,
we're all Tarantino.
Oh, I love Tarantino.
All three of us.
Agree.
Well, yeah. and you even brought up while we were watching the movie, like the Matrix 2 and 3 are just riddled with this CG monstrosity. It's so boring. And someone like Tarantino really understands that, like, if you watch like Death Proof, that car chase with the woman on top of the car in Death Proof just murders anything in Matrix 2 or 3 in terms of tension and thing. And it's so much less. It's so, like, less is more. Like, that's really happening. This woman's really on top of a car, and I can't stop watching it. It's amazing. And, yes, it's this, like, oh, the mechs fighting, the monsters coming in, woo, like, yeah. couldn't give less of a fuck
All
about
I
that.
Can see like, when I'm seeing that is, like, some 400-pound guy, like, waiting for it to render. That's all I can think of when I look at that.
Really? Yeah. So, to me, it's just, there's a lot of lessons to learn from the Matrix movies, and I hope, because I'm trying to think of, is there a movie that has come like the first Matrix movie did that's really blown everybody away, and it's like,
Inception.
We can't see what next? Yeah, I guess that's true. I guess Christopher Nolan really is.
He finally,
like,
did it with Inception.
On this level.
Dude, Inception 2, where they go to the secret city, Zion-type city, and, like, DiCaprio and Joseph Gordon-Levitt, like, fuck on a bearskin rug. Like,
oh, my
like
God.
Trinity and Neo. Well, John, what are you doing next? What marathon are you doing next?
Well, we've talked about a lot of different ones. I'm not married to it. I think Royce had a really great idea to do sort of like the Kevin Smith, like, Jersey movies. Sort of, I would assume, like, from Clerks all
from
the way to maybe like
Clerks Jay and
2.
Silent Bob.
Does it end
well,
with
Clerks
it?
2 I, isn't even in,
I
included.
I feel like you need to include Clerks 2.
Don't they close
oh,
the
yeah.
book to the View Askewverse, though?
They
the
do,
end
but I think
oh,
the,
but it's back.
I think
it's
the
back,
mere fact
yeah.
that he goes Fuck back to shit. The well.
You have to include Clerks 2.
Like, yeah. obviously, Jersey Girl I wouldn't include. But anything with, like, Jay and Silent Bob are in the movie, I think would be good. But we also talked about doing Matthew, who was on the
Wait, hold on. Does the View Askew one, does that... Do we end that marathon in the Smod Castle?
Oh, I was wondering about that.
We broadcast from the Smod Castle.
You can do that for $200. Anybody can rent it out.
Really?
Are you serious?
I'm dead serious.
Dude, we should rent it out. And,
I would.
And
I would
broadcast
feel bad.
From the Smod Castle.
Kevin Smith is just sitting in the control room crying.
No, he's like, for $200 more, will you eat cereal with me? Be my friend. Oh, will you eat cereal with me and watch cartoons?
It's a sneak preview. Of
I have nobody.
Our
to,
opinion
I,
of Kevin Smith.
I have no one to deify me anymore. Can you eat cereal with me?
That's so sad. But the other marathon we were talking about, and Matthew suggested, I thought was really good with the Rambo movie. So I guess, technically, at First Blood.
How many are there?
First Blood Part 2, Rambo,
well,
Rambo
what about,
3,
what about,
and Rambo.
The fourth one's awesome.
What's the fourth one called? Rambo?
Rambo.
Yeah, it's the most confusing series of titles pretty much ever.
Oh, so there was only 3 and then he made the new one?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Did they do the thing where he gets in a fist fight with Osama bin Laden?
No,
and the
no Bin Laden fist fights.
I don't know.
Sadly.
If I'll do it. I don't know if I'm there.
But so I those are the ones I'm really leaning towards. So I will, obviously, listeners, you will see when you listen to the next podcast. But it's either going to be the Rambo movies or the Kevin Smith Jersey Jay and Silent Bob movies. Thanks, guys, for joining me. Thank you, Dan, as always, and Royce. Thank you very much.
Yeah.
Yep.
And we'll see you guys next time.
Later.
We're actually going to do 7 more versions of this podcast. It's just a new iteration of the same.
Yes.
The 7th one's going to be amazing.
Ergo. We'll see how it goes.
So. We're actually all dressed like the architect right now. Can't see us.
All right. Have a good one, guys. We'll see you next time.